This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the Morning Run with Shazana and Chuang. Let's get a quick update on how the Bursa is looking like at 9:21 this morning.
Well, still red because it's down by 0.4% to 15:21. But be that as it may, there are some bright spots on the market this morning. Caraza Integrated up by over 14% this morning to 76 cents. Obviously, they're saying that the outlook for semiconductors remains positive. And there's also Agia at 123, up by nearly 4%. And AIMFlex 3% higher to 18 cents. And Complete Logistics up 3% to 412. So there are some, you know, isolated bright spots within the market.
And if you are interested to learn more about Caraza Integrated, we did speak to them on the Breakfast Grill before they went to list. You can look up that podcast on the BFM app. We now turn our attention to the Singapore Straits Times Index, which remains an outperforming Asian market. But as the three banks, DBS, OCBC and UOB, make up the lion's share of the STI at around 40% of the index, how will the anticipated US Fed rate hikes impact the earnings? Or should we pay more attention to the laggards or value plays in this environment of monetary tightening? To share with us some perspectives on this, we speak to Adrian Low, Head of Research at UOB Kay Hian in Singapore. Adrian, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, the STI was the outperformer last year with a return of close to 10%. Do you expect another bullish year? And what is your index target for 2022?
Hi, thank you very much. Glad to be here. We are still bullish. We have a target of 3,500 for the STI this year, which implies about 6 to 7% upside from current levels. And for the stocks under our coverage here in Singapore, we forecast 29% earnings growth for this year. So that indicates you our level of bullishness. We are positive on the market as there are quite a few recent data points for the Singapore economy that continue to give us hope. Three in particular I want to highlight are firstly, Singapore's Ministry of Trade and Industry is currently forecasting 3 to 5% GDP growth for this year on the back of very strong and higher than expected 5.9% preliminary GDP growth number that we saw in fourth quarter of last year. Secondly, our non-oil domestic exports saw much stronger than expected 18% year-on-year growth in December, and that was the 13th straight month of expansion. And notably, both electronics and non-electronics exports grew. So this broad-based expansion is therefore supportive of growth for this year. And thirdly, Singapore's PMI, or Purchasing Managers Index, remains positive with a reading of 50.7 in December, which was up versus the 50.6 in November. And that's the 18th straight month above 50. So positive data points there. And apart from those data points I mentioned, I also like to highlight the fact that STI trades at very inexpensive valuations versus its Asia-Pacific peers.
Yeah, Adrian, zooming on that 29% earnings expansion, can you give some context as to those expectations, given that we are now possibly entering an era of stagflation, high prices and low growth?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, last year when we were entering 2022, we actually had much lower earnings expectations. But obviously, the virus has delayed some of that growth from last year into this year. So coming into this year, you know, we've got quite a broad-based earnings growth profile. Pretty much all the sectors that we cover will be showing earnings growth, from banks to REITs, industrials, consumer, property. The only sector that isn't expected to show any earnings growth this year is unfortunately aviation.
So looking at property, Adrian, towards the year end, the government introduced a series of cooling measures for the property sector. Do you still see property? Will it remain a laggard this year for the most part?
Yeah, so if you look at what has happened historically, we've seen that the effects of cooling measures in Singapore in particular have been relatively short-lived. Of course, the market will take time to adjust to these new measures, and thus transaction volumes will soften. But once buyers and sellers adjust to this new reality, volumes should come back. So yes, the near term may see the property sector being a laggard. However, we do note that the market had been expecting these cooling measures. So leading up to these measures, the property sector had been treading water in any case. So this year still may be a bit challenged, but second half of the year, assuming you know everything else is good, we should see better times ahead for the property sector.
Yeah, Adrian, just to get some perspective on the broad-based recovery that you talked about in terms of those sectors, earlier mentioned. Is it because Singapore is so open to the rest of the world, and in fact, specifically the Western countries like America, which is learning to live with COVID?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, as I said, you know, electronics and non-electronics exports have been doing well. So if you look at some of our small mid-cap technology manufacturing companies like AEM, UMS, Franken, Nanofilm, all of these guys are all expected to benefit from the growth. So some of the factors that had plagued them last year, for example, you know, shortage of chips and supply chain disruptions, all of that, you know, in terms of our expectations, is expected to fall away this year gradually. And for the most part, we are expecting, you know, 20%+ earnings growth for our tech companies.
So with the Omicron virus still raging and the risk of the Fed over tightening, what investment strategy should one adopt at this time?
We don't view Omicron as a significant risk at the moment, given that the data coming out of various health authorities indicate that while it is more infectious, it is much less lethal than previous variants. So we do hold out hope that, you know, we're getting into we're seeing light at the end of the tunnel. So nevertheless, reopening will still take time, but it will come in our view. So we would focus at the moment for the STI on financials and reopening plays in the consumer, hospitality, aviation, industrials, land transport and technology sectors. And so within these sectors, our top picks would include companies like ComfortDelGro, DBS and OCBC, Genting Singapore, a couple of tech companies like Innotech and UMS, and then, you know, Raffles Medical, Thai Beverage, Sembcorp Marine and Sembcorp Industries.
Adrian, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Adrian Loh, Head of Research at UOB Kay Hian in Singapore, capping the conversation with the number of names that he thinks we could keep our eyes on as investors moving forward in this age of lots of complications.
Yeah, the other thing that I guess on a more macro long-term level, Shaz, is the fact that, you know, we talked about this earlier this morning, right? Hong Kong's time in the sun may well be over because of China's heavy hand with COVID and, you know, pro-democracy supporters and things like that. I just wonder whether if the whole nexus of financial centeredness moves away from Hong Kong, where does it go to? Does it go to Tokyo, or does it ostensibly go to Singapore, which is, you know, the next kind of like financial hub, right?
That's
and
right.
Will Singapore benefit from Hong Kong's, you know, troubles?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.